Hello, everyone. I'm Dave Hughes with the Marketing Group at Worldwide Technology, your host for WWT's Tech 17 podcast series. So I want to welcome everyone today to listening to our latest episode. Our Tech 17 series brings together subject matter experts from WWT and occasionally our partners and occasionally customers to discuss important topics in today's enterprise space on technology issues. So today we're going to be talking about something that's become a really important topic and has got a lot of attention in our collaboration practice. And it's all about kind of the workforce experience, which I think we can all relate to. And to help us talk about that today, we've got two of the subject matter experts from our collaboration practice, Joe Berger and Brandon Eckel. So guys, thanks for joining us
today. Thanks for having us today.
Yep, thanks.
I think, Joe, this is your third trip into the podcast.
I believe so, yeah.
One of our returning champions, our three-timer club. Yeah. And Brandon, I think this is your first visit to Tech 17.
First time.
All right, good. Well, glad to have you guys. So just very briefly, guys, if you could just kind of give us your titles if you want, but basically what your roles are here at Worldwide. So Joe, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so my name is Joe Berger. I'm the practice director for collaboration and end-user compute. So I'm responsible for the overlay engineering and business development team as it relates to those technologies.
Okay. Brandon?
Yes, Brandon Eckel. I am the practice manager for video and conferencing. I'm under Joe in the collab practice, and I focus specifically on video conferencing and collaboration platforms such as Skype, WebEx, Zoom.
Okay. So maybe just to kind of get things started, guys, we can kind of talk just a little kind of general take from you guys about, you know, what our talk about today is going to be really about workforce experience. And, you know, I know one thing that, one of the kind of the names of this category and what people have talked about a lot, especially as it relates to collaboration, is how to improve workforce productivity. But it seems like we're kind of shifting a little bit from there into what we're calling workforce experience. And so we're going to be talking about huddle rooms today. That's one of the things we're going to be talking about. But obviously people are, you know, if they haven't been in a huddle room, everyone's familiar with, you know, meeting rooms, open office space, stuff like that. So maybe just kind of give us a general introduction to that area and how it's kind of shifting into more of a workforce experience type of subject. Maybe you guys can kind of give us your take on that.
I think it actually goes back a little bit further than that. One of the trends we've seen, I'd say, over the past, I don't know, 10 to 15 years is sort of a shift in the way we work. You know, if you think back, we used to come into the office 9 to 5. You just had the tools that IT gave you. You got your job done within those walls. And typically those walls consisted of a bunch of cube farms. Maybe some executives had their own office space, and there might be a corporate boardroom at the end that had a lot of rich mahogany and nice leather chairs that only the few were able to use. Over time, we started going to this model where we became more agile. We started becoming more remote in the way we work. People started teleworking. They're on the road. They work from home. And those cube farms started coming down, and we went to this open office floor plan. Which was in itself sort of a newer way to work. It was very open to everybody. You didn't really always have a desk to go to. You kind of showed up and you sat down. Well, the challenge with that was when you have everyone out in this public area, it got very loud. You couldn't have a private conversation. And so that's really where the rise of this concept of the huddle space really began, where people needed a place to go collaborate together that wasn't necessarily at their seat, where they could either go have that private one-on-one conversation or go collaborate more in a group setting. And so this is a topic that a lot of customers are coming to us asking of, how do they enable their employees to give them that type of experience that they need to get their job done, but also make sure it's secure and IT approves and they can manage what's going on in these different spaces?
Yeah, I think that the huddle room was a direct result of the complaints that employees gave about open workspace. Open workspace was created to solve really two issues. One was the collaboration to get a better, you know, not have employees just huddle down in their cube and sit there all day and not talk directly to their fellow employees on their team. But the second point of that was, or the second part was, for real estate costs. Open workspaces allow real estate departments, facilities departments to cram more employees into a smaller space, saving on square footage costs. So the complaints were, you didn't think about when we have to actually do something specific that needs privacy, or I need a couple minutes to go call my husband or my wife or talk to the doctor. I need some place to go, and that's where Huddle Spaces, the need arose.
Okay, so definitely, I think we want to take a little deeper dive into huddle rooms. But maybe one more thing we can address before we get into that is just what are some of the other movement from, the workforce productivity and workforce experience and this open space concept. What are some of the other technologies and maybe even specifically some of the vendors that are really helping to address those challenges?
Yeah. So as we talk about spaces, whether that's a large scale meeting room down to all the way to these huddle spaces, really the requirements are pretty much the same. You need a place to place a phone call, share content, and if you're a culture that is really into video, you have to provide a video system in that type of room. And this could be a two-person room or it could be a 40-person room. The requirements are usually typically the same. Now, the space itself might vary, but the requirements are usually those three things of video, audio, and content sharing. As we look at the vendors in this space, you've got everybody from Logitech to Polycom to Cisco. I'd say as we look at the huddle area, Logitech has really done a pretty good job of kind of attacking that segment with a lower cost option. They've got a meetup product that's a pretty nice product. What Cisco is announcing at their partner summit this year is actually a couple products. First one being what they call the Room Kit Mini, which is a smaller version of their Room Kit, which the Room Kit is an all-in-one video endpoint with a device to actually launch the call. The Room Kit Mini is a smaller version geared toward that huddle space size, 2 to 3 person rooms, that kind of thing. They're also adding a new product to the portfolio called the WebEx Share, which is a wireless sharing device that you can plug into any monitor. And within a matter of minutes, you can actually share content directly to your TV or your monitor without having to plug in. I know one of the problems we always hear is, hey, I forgot my dongle. You walk into a conference room or space, you can't connect to the endpoint because you don't have the right dongle. This gets rid of that altogether. It's all through wireless now. So it makes it a much easier experience, and you can go room to room and you know how to use all the different devices there. Brandon, you see any other major vendors in that space?
There are a lot. There are probably, if you go and Google huddle room collaboration system, there's probably 1,000 different vendors to come up. We see a lot of them, and I think they're all at very different price points. There's some that are very expensive. There's some that are dirt cheap. There's some that are purely just USB cameras that have an extra long cable. I think the key that we're finding in regards to the enterprise space and these huddle devices is, can they be managed? One of the biggest aspects that we get questions about is now is not just from IT, but also facilities people asking, hey, if I'm tasked to create this open workspace in this new location, and I have to now plan for this many more conference/huddle rooms, how do I know that they're being utilized? Well, for some of the products out there, like the Logitech, there really isn't a way to manage that, to know if anybody's really using it. It's there to provide USB connectivity to a camera on your laptop. Where Cisco's kind of addressing that with the Mini is that now it's registered and it's being used just like all the other endpoints. So not only is it the same experience that the larger rooms get, but now IT and facilities are able to tell, is it being used? Did they place a call? Did they just present? So now I'm able to actually give a much more accurate ROI on my facilities costs.
And I think that's a big component to this too. As the cost of real estate keeps growing, especially in some of these larger markets, if you don't know how your space is being used and is it being used efficiently, it becomes hard to understand, am I getting that ROI? Do I need more of these types of spaces? Do I need more two-person rooms versus 10-person rooms? You can start making better decisions by getting all these analytics from these devices, where in the past you probably was just, hey, I'll put something in there and just hope people use it. Now you can actually manage how it's being used.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Well, Let's do a little deeper dive into really what a huddle room is. And I know we've been talking about it a little bit here. So I know, and maybe especially for those of us not as technically oriented, maybe the difference between a huddle room and a meeting room. So for example, like here at our global headquarters, we got tons of meeting rooms all over. So, for a lot of us, it's like, oh, hey, well, I got a meeting. I'm, where was it? Well, it was in this meeting room. So to a lot of us, it's, yes, there's, different communication vehicles, and you've got digital screens. So, but to me, it's just a meeting room. So kind of what is a huddle room specifically, and why is it different, and why is it enhanced the experience over like the traditional meeting room?
Yeah. And I'd say that I'd answer that by saying, I don't know if there's any hard and fast rule for what a huddle room is, but there are some key characteristics that may associate a huddle room differently than a meeting room. Okay. So size is going to be the first. A huddle room is generally no more than four people at the most. It's generally in that one to
and
three
doesn't
person.
It doesn't have to be a room. It could be.
It could be an open space. It could be a cubby in the corner of an office space.
We've seen beanbag chairs thrown in the corner with a monitor.
Correct. So it could be something very casual like that.
That's pretty casual.
It's very casual.
We don't have any of those around here, I don't think.
We don't. In fact, we had
downtown.
We need to get some.
We had one customer one time who had they had a old army tent set up in the middle of a big open workspace, and that was their huddle space. But conference room, meeting rooms are generally going to be much larger. There are going to be six or more people. The other aspect of this that is interesting is meeting rooms are generally schedulable. They're not ad hoc type, hey, I need to get up and hey, let's go talk about this real quick, or hey, look at my screen over here, let's go over and share this real quick. So they're very, huddle rooms are very ad hoc. Meeting rooms, very rigid scheduled rooms. They also have a much higher ROI from a square footage and cost perspective from a facilities. Whereas a huddle room, because they're so flexible or they can be so casual, you generally have a much lower ROI per room when you're designing a space.
I think the other thing to look at too is the use case behind them, where a meeting room probably is going to be more for a presentation where you have someone speaking to the larger audience. Maybe it's a training room. We're in a huddle space. It's probably, hey, let's go work on something and collaborate on it together. Less around, one to many, more people teaming together to get something done.
I think another part of that too is personas. If we talk about work personas, so you're probably, just as a generality, the legal department and HR probably aren't going to have a lot of huddle spaces. They're going to have more conference rooms because they're generally having larger type meetings. Sales operations, engineering, some of those other departments or work personas are going to lend themselves better to smaller teams where they need to go do smaller communications in these huddle room spaces.
And I think that also brings up another good point too of the shift. The new term is team of teams, where back in the old days you might be a part of one team that's a larger team that you're focused on one task at the time. Now that we're all part of multiple teams, but they're smaller groups, depending upon where you're sitting or what group you're in, you might need different huddle spaces for each one of those team spaces. So you might walk across the hallway to another team that you're a part of and, hey, let's quickly chat around something. We got to change this project plan or work on a marketing budget or something like that, where you have to do it very quickly because something's changed very fast. And so you need a space that you can quickly collaborate in and innovate on that doesn't take a lot of time to go schedule a meeting or get the larger group involved. Now you can go meet quickly with a smaller group of people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think we probably touched on this a little bit in our discussion so far, but if you're talking to a customer, for example, and you kind of lay this out in terms of what the huddle room is, and or maybe just the huddle space and the open office environment, all sounds great, but how do you answer a customer if they say, well, Joe, Brandon, that all sounds great, but how's that going to make my workforce more productive?
Yeah, so what's interesting is, there's a lot of talk today and a lot of competition for talent today. So, unemployment rates is lowest in, at least in the United States, in 20-something years, if not longer. So companies are really struggling to attract and retain employees because of the market. And one of the things we talk about all the time you know, I can't change. There's nothing that from a technology standpoint that can likely change your culture. But what the technology can do is provide better experiences for these employees. And if you're looking to keep employees engaged, which will then directly, we think, lead to productivity enhancements, you need to focus on that experience. And if your work experience is coming into an office that's open workspace and you have no privacy at any time throughout the day, and it's a hassle to talk to your fellow employees, you're probably not going to be very productive. You're probably not going to be very engaged from an employee standpoint. And I think that's where the huddle room is something that has to be addressed by any company who has an open workspace facilities plan.
Yeah, and, you know, from a productivity perspective and now kind of going to the experience, as we've gone to more remote workers and teleworkers, you know, that's great to have this huddle space, which is a physical space if you're all there. But for those employees who might not always be with you at all the times, this is where some of these newer technologies can still go outside of your brick and mortar walls and actually engage the employees who are working from home, who are on the road. They can still be a part of that ad hoc conversation and even be included over video. But these tools make it much easier to get that going. You don't have to schedule and worry about whether this person going to be joining on and where are they going to be calling in from. Now it's just, hey, with one click of a button, I can launch this great video and chat experience and share content and do whiteboarding. And it's all relatively simple. And the end users and people who are outside of the corporate environment can still participate and be on the same page as everybody else. So I think from a productivity perspective, that's really a boost there. You're going to keep people on the same page, less mistakes, move a lot faster, and speed up your innovation there.
Yeah, I mean, think about if you're struggling to retain employees or the goal is employee retention, is free lunch, even though every time you talk to a coworker, it's a huge hassle,
hey, I like
free lunch. Or you can't get anything done because there's constantly loud conversations going on around you? Or are you going to be more apt to retain employees if it's easy to communicate with your fellow worker? I think those experiences are overlooked when we talk about employee retention. Everybody thinks it's going to be, you know,
the lunches and dog groomers.
And, right. You know, and I think that
neck massages.
The actual experience of doing work.
But I think at the end of the day, people want to be able to get their job done more effectively. Right. And these are the tools that enable it.
Well, and I think too, is just the fact, you know, and you just touched on this, Joe, is just so many people work remotely. They telecommute, or maybe they telecommute 2 or 3 days a week. I think it's gotten to the point now where really the biggest benefit that people have of coming into an office is not so much to get their job done, but just to collaborate and talk to their people in their group or their colleagues or coworkers. So that's really the biggest benefit, you know, and the biggest reason people actually come into work these days. So
I think it's a great point.
Yeah. So it sounds like some of the things that we've been talking about today is going to enhance that part of the, you know, part of their job, whether they're, you know, I guess whether they're in the office for one, or if you are going to have people that are going to be, you know, that you want to collaborate with remotely.
Yep. And it keeps those teleworkers and remote workers still engaged and involved with the organization. And it can also kind of help promote the culture as you're turning on video and you're building trust with some of these employees.
Okay. Well, that's great, guys. Actually, that kind of wraps up our episode. Went by pretty fast. I think it's a great topic because it's something that we can all relate to. And it sounds like it's a technology area that just is expanding and changing and is, you know, definitely hopefully enhances, you know, the workforce experience.
Well,
for all of us,
this is
really
an experience. It's not sitting somewhere behind in a data center. This is touching all of us,
blinking lights and
blinking
all that.
Lights.
Yeah.
This is actually stuff we use and experience every day. So it's always fun to talk about this topic because people get passionate and we, you know, like I said, we use it. So yeah, we can all relate.
Okay, great. Well, guys, you know, like I said, that wraps up today's episode. So, Joe, Brandon, thanks for joining us today.
Anytime. Yeah.
Okay, great, guys. So, for our listeners, hopefully you enjoyed our discussion today on workforce experience, primarily talking about huddle rooms. If you are not a subscriber, as I always say, please subscribe. It is free. Our Tech17 podcast channel, most people access it through iTunes, but it's available on any platform where podcasts are available. Also, check out the episode notes. We usually drop a link to one or two different forms of content, which gives us a little deeper dive into the topic that we've talked about today. So again, thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time on Tech 17.